Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Next, I want to talk about Bill Johnson with Bethel in regards to perceiving the love of God, the kindness of God. I mean, understand this, that God loves you. When God heals us and delivers us and a miracle manifests in our life or in the presence, our presence, it's God just going, I love you. It's the love of God. And God's not someone, if you read the Gospels and see when everybody came to Jesus, He healed them. Didn't matter where they were coming from, what was going on, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He delivered them all. I mean, that's our heart, that's the heart of God. It's religious spirit when people start blaming you instead of just going, you know what? God can heal you. God can deliver you. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to what Bill Johnson of Bethel has to say about this.
I hear often people get scolded because they seek God for gifts. They seek Him for healing. They seek Him for breakthrough. And there's some really good statements that have really good intentions and kind of, I guess, good meanings if you want to wade through them. One of them is don't seek the hand of God, seek His face. You know, I just tell people, if you find His hand, look up, because His face isn't very far away. He's just connected to the very work that He's doing in us. And the realization that I came to is I started looking at blind Bartimaeus. I started looking at the Syrophoenician woman who wanted her daughter healed. I looked at the guy whose son was throwing himself in the fire. Every one of these people didn't come to Jesus to get to know God better. They came because they had a need. That's not a bad thing. It's not a good place to end, but it's not a bad thing. Jesus never scolded anyone for coming to Him because they wanted a gift. Instead, what He did is He provided them with the miracle that directed their heart towards the Father. I think oftentimes we think ourselves right out of miracles. We think ourselves right out of the compassion in the heart of God. We make it way more complicated than it is. If you find His hand, look up. His face is right there. He's looking at the person He just healed. He just gave a gift of provision for, or the promotion in work, or provided that spouse that you've been longing for. Whatever it might be, it's that moment of divine intervention in your life. Look up, because His hand, He'll never scold you for looking for what's in His hand. Instead, take your moment to look at the Father who gave it to you. He's so perfect, and He's so wonderful. I want to encourage you, just learn as much as you know how to simplify things. Don't let anyone ever make you feel guilty because you're seeking God for a healing. Get the healing, and then look at the one who gave it to you. He's absolutely incomparably marvelous. You'll discover something about Him in that healing that you can't discover without it. I encourage you, look up. He's smiling.
I want to encourage you to begin to just believe God for everything He says He can do. God is a loving God. He's a kind God. When we get back for this break, we're going to begin to get kind of shift our perspective a little bit about how good He is. Make sure you join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by His resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare His generation? He is one with us, but He's definitely beyond us. He's great in His nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by Him, of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. He is before all things. By Him does all things exist. He is God, He is man, He's as truly God as if He were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if He were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I mean, I think about this. I think about Michael Leal. You know, we got to have the heart of like a Michael Leal, who in Seattle, Washington, high school student, just stands up for God, preaches the word of God, and just you're going to fall in love with this guy when you see him. That he got persecuted. He got suspended from school. I mean, how many people, out of the fear of being pointed out, out of the fear of being suspended or just humiliated, they don't even ever even open their mouths.
Attempt to open their mouths,
right?
He was suspended three times.
As a matter of fact, take a look at this. It's going to bless your heart.
Some people speak about other things. I speak about God. But in the end, we're all speaking, and we all have that freedom of speech. And I think it's important that we all have free speech, even in high school. My name is Michael Leal. I go to Cascade High School. I like hanging out with my friends and my family. I love reading the Bible. And why I share the gospel with the whole world, it's because it's necessary. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. One day, after school, this man preaching outside of my school was preaching the gospel. You know, I heard that, and from then on, I got a real sincere and deep interest in, you know, what did God have to say and what the Bible has to say. And, you know, that all led me to seek God more, to read the Bible more, and eventually led to my repentance and putting my complete life and faith in Christ. I preached at this one event at school, and they've never lived through this situation before, I could tell. You know, the police ended up coming for no reason. The police never did anything to me, but you know, I just kept on preaching Christ. And I got suspended for 2 days. And then the next time I was preaching, or I was handing out tracts, actually. I was handing out tracts during lunch, and, you know, to some students, getting into some conversations. It was in the building during lunch. And they came to me and they spoke to me and they said, "We warned you many times," and which led to my second suspension. And then my third suspension was because I handed out a gospel tract during class. It was to a student, a fellow student. It wasn't during a learning time, it was time to work, and you know, that's what led to my third suspension.
This school district is overtly punishing him because of his desire to share his faith with tracts or verbally share his faith. And other kids who get excited about football or baseball or other things, they're not punished.
Christians are followers of Christ. They follow Christ. I love Christ and I follow him, and he's my perfect example.
Does this young man like to share his faith? Yes. Is he open about it? Yes. Is he offensive? No.
I was really excited how the Pacific Justice Institute responded so quickly. I'm just really excited that I'm working with them and that they're helping me out.
Now, this case is not about a young man who hurt anyone. There's no child or student out there who is claiming any kind of injury whatsoever. This is about a school district that wants to censor and silence a young boy simply because he's excited about Jesus and he wants to share it.
I can't preach to every single person, but if I can give a pamphlet with the gospel, you know, that's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, but God's in control of everything, and I'm not really worried.
Don't you just love Michael? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's like, I can't talk to everybody, but if you give them a pamphlet,
that's it,
with all of it on there, I mean, that is the tenacity.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really have been just talking about how Azusa 2.0 is going to be hit in America, where it's the young folks that are moved with the power of God and the passion for God and the tenacity. And Michael looks like he's one of them.
He's got
he?
It. Yes. So, I mean, absolutely awesome. And to know he did sue the school district. He actually won. And thank God for Pacific Justice Institute. They actually defend religious freedom and parental rights and other, you know, injustices.
Pacific Justice Institute? What is it?
It's a Pacific Justice Institute. Mm-hmm. And their mission, if you will, is to defend religious freedom, parental rights, and other, you know, injustices that were done, your liberties, your civil rights.
It's just so important to support organizations like that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank God. I mean, they were able to stand with him. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be hearing about Michael right now. Suspended three times for preaching the gospel.
Right, and they successfully won the case.
Yes, because freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
He has his First Amendment, you know, it's your rights.
What's happening in America right now is the enemy's trying to, that's the shot. Enemy's trying to the fear.
Yeah.
Trying to produce fear in the hearts of man, trying to produce fear. And it's like, fear of what? I mean, why is ever? I mean, even if you didn't have the Constitution, even if you didn't have everything going for you, even if you didn't have the Pacific Justice Institute, you still got to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. And it's always a fear of loss.
But how many people in America are thinking, well, it's because of that's the, that you think about it, it's like, what is everybody afraid of?
Right.
Think about it. What is everybody afraid of? Tell me, what is it? It's just like, where did we get this Americanized nationalism of, you know, I might lose something? It's like, if we were in Libya, we would still have to say Jesus is Lord. We'd still have to talk about him. And it just makes you wonder, like he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
It's
the difference here is that we have fear in America of losing our luxuries, our comforts, our conveniences. What our brothers and sisters in other countries, they could be fearful of losing their own lives for testifying. There's a big difference here. And yet those brothers and sisters in other countries are still very, very faithful to preach the gospel.
Well, Michael just said, you know, just convicts, you know, of me, of going, convicts me of just saying, you know, what are we doing with comfort and convenience? These two gods in America that's being served. And I mean, there's 350 million or 300 something million of us in America. There's 70 something percent profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about if there was just like, I don't know, 1,000 Michaels, just 1,000. It wouldn't take many to stand up. And it makes you think about, you know, Germany and how Christians didn't say hardly anything at all. From some of the reports, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had maybe 11 or 15 pastors in the Confessing Church movement. It was just people wouldn't even, and the Confessing Church was just a biblically based, you know, Christian belief church. And the majority of the whole German, quote, church, unquote, was nationalized with this whole thing about, I'm worried about what the government will think about us, the Gestapo, what they will think about us, what Hitler will think about us. And every time Hitler, you know, did something that you know, won a battle or done something like that, the church would give a shout out to him and write a letter going, great job, we were just so proud of you. And it's like, today, I mean, how confused is the church today when the church is so wound around the flag? It's like the cross and the flag are so pressed together in America, it's almost like Jesus is being presented as if he's an American, right?
Absolutely.
And he's not. It's going to shock you. Jesus is not an American. He's the Son of God, the creator of the universe. I mean, think about that. The Milky Way. Mm. I mean, all these things. He is not an American. He loves Americans, but Jesus is not an American. And we have to stand up for him. He did say, if we're ashamed of him, when I look at Michael, I'm thinking, my goodness. And it's going to take this. It's going to take, because coming from what the standpoint that we're coming from, you got to break out of what is. I mean, you almost got to just jump like a leap of faith. You got to just jump out and just, you know, if you die, you die. But I can't stay here and be ashamed of my Lord and Savior. I got to, you know, you may think bad about me. You may reject me, but God, I don't want to reject him. Mm. And somehow we've accepted some other biblical explanation for what's going on. Yeah. And there is no biblical explanation for that other than the fact is being ashamed of God. And it just blesses my heart, you know, to see, you know, Michael and these young men and women. We just encourage you. You know, you're inspiring us and you're challenging us, and we thank God for you. And we're going to talk about after the breaks, you know, beginning to just rethink the original tent of the church and, you know, what is God calling us to do? More when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever.
David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion, and what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority, and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
John, you know, God speaks prophetically. God speaks, you know, he just speaks. God does speak. And what is it? What did God say to you? What specifically did he say to you?
I had a dream, a vision where I actually saw you and Pat. I was watching a video of, apparently it looked like it was a ministry trip. And we were watching this video, what took place. And then I saw where the camera was actually panned directly in front of you. And you were wearing a harness. And you were holding on to what appeared to be these ropes of a huge, gigantic parachute.
Wait a minute. So that was me?
Yes, yes.
With big ropes?
Yeah. Something like this, a paraglide, but you were on the floor at this point. Yeah, it's called, I didn't even know what it was, and I had to look it up afterwards, but it's called paragliding.
Oh, wow.
What I saw.
Okay.
But the first part of this, before we see you flying, the first part was you were actually laying on the ground, your back was towards the ground. This is real important, because as I was watching, the camera was zooming, I had to pay special close attention. You were holding with everything that you had, every bit of strength, because it was the wind was blowing on this parasail, this parachute, wow. So strong. I mean, it was violent. It was,
wow.
And it took everything you had. And then I saw this facial expression. Now, I've known you.
I'm sure what it would look like.
What? At least 20 some odd years. I've never seen this facial expression on your face. Never. And it was almost like, oh my goodness.
This
you know?
Is it.
There was nothing you could do.
Right.
You couldn't stop it. This was it. This was going to happen. And it was just a matter of time before the parachute was just taken straight up into the air by the power of the wind. It was just that powerful. The second scene in this dream, I'm in an airplane, mm-hmm. and we're at very, very high altitude, and I'm looking across the aisle, and I see Pat Hamilton is sitting next to the window with another gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like Pat's getting ready to jump out of this plane. Before he jumps out, I look out the window, and I see these beautiful snow-capped mountains, very majestic, very strong structures, and it reminded me of the seven mountains of society.
Right.
And as I'm looking out the window, I'm looking at Pat and the gentleman next to him have their hands underneath each other's thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And right before I said something, Pat looks at me in the dream and says, it's in Genesis. It's in Genesis.
Which is a covenant.
It's a covenant. It's an oath. I had to look it up when I woke up. It was Genesis 24:7, I believe. And Abraham's servant made a covenant, says, I will find your son's, you know, wife. Isaac's wife, and before you know it, the next scene is Pat had jumped off of the plane, and he's soaring like Superman, if you will. We're looking at that image straight down, exactly like this, high speed, high altitude. I mean, and we were so far up in the sky that all you saw was greenery. You could not make anything out. I mean, just looked like broccoli. You know,
wow.
I mean, that's
it. Yeah, that's exactly what
that's
like.
It. There was nothing else, and then the final scene of this dream, I'm in a doctor's, a newborn baby's, I don't know the name, doctor's waiting room. And I happen to see a couple that I know in the natural. They were actually pregnant. She was pregnant. They're expecting their first child. But in the dream, the baby was born. And we, you know, exchanged some pleasantries and had this conversation. And then all of a sudden, Pat walks into the room. I was getting ready to go to the restroom to change, and because we had some meetings. And Pat walks in and tells me, you can't change. Everything's you needed in this meeting room, because everything has changed suddenly. Everything that we knew is completely changed, and you need to come right now. And the very next word or the next phrase that I heard, I believe the Lord spoke it to me, said, this is a new horizon. This is a new horizon.
Mm.
And that was the end of the dream.
That's powerful. You think about, you know, this. Just the sense, you know, right now that something's about to happen in the earth, that everything's about to shift. You think about, David Barton with Wall Builders just said yesterday that the church as you know it won't even be recognized anymore. It's all fixing to shift. And, you know, of course, so many of others we've talked about Rick Joyner's talked about that the church will be going to be so different, you won't even be able to connect the church to what it is now to what it's going to be. It's going to be so different. And it's just a sudden type thing. It's exciting, by the way, because it's not religious, but I really believe, and we wanted to be able to play, you know, Apostle Kaderi's word about the Gulf Coast that God gave him, mm-hmm. about the wind of God's spirit, but we'll make that available in the VFN torch. But he's speaking about how God has shown him the winds are going to come from four different regions, and they're going to go back out again from the Gulf Coast and touch the nations.
Wow.
And this wind of God's spirit is going to blow in such a powerful way. And, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good for those that are going after him. There's going to be a differentiation between those who are God's. I mean, we belong to God versus those who said, I don't want God. And there's going to be a big change. And what mm-hmm. you're going to see, too, those who didn't understand God are going to be able to have a better understanding of who he is, and they're going to come to God by the millions. They're going to come running to God.
This is exciting.
Yes, and I want you to hear this right here. You got to hear this particular from 7 Watch 7:21 here when you hear Paul Keith Davis talking about this rain and this wind that's coming. Listen up.
We're about to be overtaken. The latter rain outpouring is a maturing rain, which deals with sonship. It is a perfecting rain, which deals with the bride of Christ, and it's the harvest rain.
One of the crises that we have right now is just this huge orphan spirit that's over the church and over people in general. Mm-hmm. And the one thing the Lord said that he would do, that he would send Elijah, and Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And that, you know, maybe you're watching right now and you're thinking, you know, everything that I hear, I'm just disempowered because I am a orphan in my heart, that I just live for love. Will you love me? Will you love me? You're maybe in your fifth relationship. Maybe you're looking for a job that loves you. Maybe you're looking for things and stuff. Maybe you're loving yourself because you're thinking nobody else will. But I want to tell you right now, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. We call him Father, and he wants to be your father. And God wants to fix that paradigm, you know, and to no longer live for love, but to live from love, out of the Father's love. And I want to, this move of God that's coming is going to heal that in your heart. But you got to be brave enough to jump out and launch out and say, here I am, even if it takes you like that dream, you know, like the wind's just going to grab you and pull you out of where you are. But don't you want to leave where you are anyway? Isn't it worth the risk just to let the wind of God carry you where he wants to carry you and do what he wants to do? I want to encourage you right now. Just call out to God and say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be with you, God. I'm willing to leave everything behind. I'm ready to get thee up and go like Abraham did in faith, trusting you, knowing that you're going to show me. I want to be a part of this, God. I want to be a part of this move, Father God. And I just want to pray with you right now. And like I said, you can go to vfntv.com and contact us. You can find out our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. But let me pray with you. Father God, I just thank you for our viewers and our listeners, Father God. And I pray right now, Father God, this orphan spirit would be broken off of them in Jesus' name. And that the awareness of your Father's heart for them and your love for them, Father God, that you would heal those father wounds in their heart, Father God, and the father neglects, Father God, and that you would just surround them by your spirit, Father God, men and women, and that they would no longer look horizontally, Father God, for what you're going to give them, the love that you give them as a good father, Father God, and that you would use them and be a part, that they would be a part of what's about to happen in this latter rain and this wind of your spirit that's about to catch your people and take us to new realms and great harvest in you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.